Ia tātou e whakanui ana I te wiki o te reo Māori, e tika ana ki a Rahiri Tiaake ko te toihau o te taura whiri I te reo Māori, hei whakapuakeake I ona whakaaro, me ona moimoia, e pāna ki te reo Māori ngā tau kāheke. And what's described as the single largest celebration of the Māori language in Aotearoa's history, hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders, in fact over a million now, joined together to speak, sing and celebrate te reo Māori at midday on Monday. This Māori language moment was part of the ongoing work to celebrate te reo Māori and to wiki o te reo Māori. So how can events like these contribute to the goal of getting 1 million Māori language speakers by 2040? Ko tō tātou kai kōrero e haere ake nei hea horangi. Te toi hau o te tauriwhiri te reo Māori. Joining us to discuss this now is Professor Rāwhinia Higgins, the chair of Te Tauriwhiri I Te Reo Māori, the chair of the Māori Language Commission, as well as being an eminent Māori studies scholar. She's also a member of the Waitangi Tribunal and a passionate advocate for all things te ao Māori. Rāwhinia, tēnā rāwa atu koe.
Tēnā rāwa atu koe, o tira tēnā koutou e whakarongo mai nei, ki tēnei o ngā pāpā hotanga I tēnei rā.
Nau mai e te ahorangi, ko ma te tāwa te reo urua, ne te kōrero reo whai ana tēnā? Okay, we'll dip in and out of te reo as we go through this kōrero. What's your response to the massive uptake and engagement you have achieved with this wonderful initiative, the Māori language movement, a moment that occurred this week?
I suppose if I could describe it in one word, it would be wow. It was an awesome achievement by the team to propose a Māori language moment as a way to celebrate Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. One of the things we've learned, particularly during the COVID experience with lockdown, is how do we engage our people, our communities, particularly for Te Reo Māori and celebrating Te Reo Māori when we live in relatively uncertain times. So in the past, we've focused on hikoi, where we want to celebrate by bringing people out onto the streets to demonstrate their commitment and passion for Te Reo Māori. This year, it was reframed into creating a platform for people to register what they're going to do for, what they were proposing to do for Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. And so the Māori Language Moment was developed by the team. I have to be honest, when it was presented to the board, I was a little bit sceptical. I was excited that we might get about 250,000 at best. I thought that would be the greatest achievement if we could get that. I thought 1 million would be far too ambitious, but actually I'm just so overwhelmed and ecstatic about how many people out there were really keen to take a moment out of their day to celebrate Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori.
Why were you not pessimistic, but why did you think that the goal was too ambitious?
I suppose because in the past what we've seen, a lot of it has been anecdotal. Our hikois would bring in a lot of people out into the streets, not just here in Wellington, but in Auckland and in other parts of the country. And in my mind I was thinking, oh, that's a few thousand. We know that people are doing that. We also know people are doing it in their offices and their schools and all of that. But I probably never really fully appreciated how much of that was happening. And one of the things that I really appreciate about this year is having a platform that can register the numbers of people who are doing that actually gives us a better sense of how enthusiastic people are across the nation to celebrate Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori.
Have you been able to look at the data that you've got so far around numbers and percentages of non-Māori who registered?
At this stage, the team is working on compiling all the data that's been collected over the week because alongside just the registration has been the opportunity to share your moment. And so we've had many, many submissions come in from people writing anecdotes to sharing pictures to sharing their videos. And we're hoping to archive those just to get a fuller sense from there and hopefully do some analytics around that.
Did you have an idea, a figure in your head, a number in your head about particularly non-Māori, and we'll get to why such a focus on non-Māori soon, but particularly non-Māori in your own mind that you hoped would register for this moment?
I suppose that was probably where I was hoping we would at least make $250,000 registrations. Maybe that's just me, the cynic in me, is because there's so much going on in our world. People are being asked to look at things. People are conscious of, you know, our COVID messages that we're receiving on a daily basis. So I was a little bit anxious that it would be a little bit noisy in that space to, you know, ensure that te reo was also one of those things. So I'm totally ecstatic by just the enthusiasm from lots and lots of people to be part of this.
E whakapono ana koe, ka tino whai hua te rā kaupapa, mo te oranga o te reo Māori, te take.
Ko te wāhi ki te taura whiri, ko te arahi i te maihi krauna, ko te whāinga nui o te maihi krauna, kia māhorohora te reo. Nō reira, kia māhorohora ki te motu whānui. So it's really our role as the Māori Language Commission, te taura whiri te reo Māori, is to coordinate and lead the government's Māori language strategy, and the main objective of that is to ensure that the language is heard and seen and felt widely across the country and spread across the country. And so that can't just be with Māori, that's with the whole of society. And so part of that is how you engage people to show some value towards the language, because that helps to provide the conditions to support those who are speakers of the language to engage more freely and comfortably with te reo.
And I guess we're getting now into outputs versus outcomes, right? How do you leverage that engagement to be able to give you a sustainable, ongoing language outcome that drives not only the goal of 1 million speakers of te reo Māori by 2020, but also improve the quality of those who are open to and who aspire to speak te reo Māori in time?
So I suppose one of the things for us, the big challenge for us going forward with the Māori Language Moment, is to how do you capture that enthusiasm for a moment and encourage that to happen on a regular basis? Because languages, you need to do it, you need to use it more regularly as a way to build more and more confidence. So one of the challenges that our team will have to think about is how do you turn those moments into long-lasting moments that happen on a regular basis. So that's an important part of helping to create a critical mass, and by building critical mass helps us to ensure that the language gets stronger and stronger throughout the year.
Yeah, and that's the part, right? The acquisition part is crucial here. Do you have, in your own mind, a way that that can occur? Do you have in your own thinking a plan that enables that to be achieved?
So language revitalisation is a long process, so I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's a three-generation process. It takes one generation to lose a language and three generations to restore. And you might not be part of the generation that is at the fully immersed, fluent proficiency. You might be just at the beginning, and that's very much part of this. So there are lots of elements to language revitalisation, and you talked about acquisition as one of them. Sometimes we get caught up in acquisition being the only part to language revitalisation, but there's actually different parts to it in language revitalisation theory. So there's status and the value we attribute to te reo, and Te Wiki tries to help us engage people to show some value towards te reo. There's corpus, which is around the resources that we need to support acquisition, as we've already talked about. Critical awareness is, why do we want to have te reo? So why would people want to engage with te reo Māori? So we have to think about strategies that helps switch people's minds into, you know, hearts and minds as to why they might want to start engaging with te reo Māori. And of course, the biggest one, and possibly the hardest one, is use. And so if we create better conditions in our society to enable people to use what little or lot of reo that they have, then that can only help us towards achieving that goal. So we've got 20 more years to get that audacious goal from the Maihi Krauna, but we also have to ensure that that correlates with the Maihi Māori, which is the work being led by Te Mā Tāwai.
He pēhea nei o whakaaro ki etahi o ngā tohunga o te ao Māori, kua roa e ki atu ana kia tāua, o tira ki te hunga kōrero Māori, ki etahi atu ono hoki ngā pekanga kawaratanga, ki atu ana ki a rātou. A kāti te wāhanga ki te hunga e haraitu uri Māori, me whakapau kaha, me whakaporu turi aka tātou ki a tātou ake, ki te koeiti o rangapu, koeiti o rangapu. He pehana i tā urupara atu ki te hunga ka wero i ākoe, i te mea ko hete toihau, ka wero i ākoe ki atu ana kei te koeiti o rangapu te oranga, whakapau kaha me hanga hito ki a rātou.
Koenau ka mihi ki ngā kaupapa pēne i te mahuru Māori, e tiaki ana i tērā momo. And ko te wāhi ki te wiki o te reo Māori me ki, ko te tiaki i te hunga katahi anō nei ka aro mai ki tō tātou reo. I think there's a place for everybody in language revitalisation, and I want to acknowledge Pirani Gloin and the mahuru Māori kaupapa that encourages those who can speak te reo, and even those who can't, who want to give it a go, to commit fully to just speaking the language for a whole month, irregardless of who they meet up with, and just use te reo as their primary mode of delivery. And then te wiki o te reo is about encouraging those who've only just started, and encouraging them to be part of the movement as well. And I think it's not a or, it's an and, because there will be non-Māori people who may, in the next generation, have tamariki Māori. And so they also are important as part of the language revitalisation journey. If we exclude people from te reo, we ourselves are in many ways pulling the language back because we're not encouraging users. Use, as I said, is the hardest part of language revitalisation theory to engage with. If we don't have users of te reo Māori and speakers of te reo Māori, then that makes the challenge even greater.
There is also the challenge, potentially there'll be some of them listening to us now who aren't that necessarily happy we're communicating via two languages in this interview. You're talking about the and the or. The or I'm thinking about at the moment, or Māori, i.e. the zero. And we'll get to Zepa in a moment. But what do you do? What do you say to those who are less than positive, in fact extremely negative, about the use of te reo Māori via platforms like this, the use of te reo Māori at all, actually, and the resource for it, and what do you do with them?
I think they're becoming the minority. They're very much the minority. And as
there is a noisy minority, though, right?
Well, there's always squeaky wheels, right? And often, by the nature of squeaky wheels, people start to pay attention to that. But I think what you see, particularly this week, of course, is always amplified during Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, is how people have demonstrated, particularly the media and broadcasting, have managed to demonstrate how you can incorporate Te Reo Māori as part of your presentation and translate at the same time. And often in a way that's quite seamless, that a lot of people probably don't even register that, you know, someone was speaking te reo Māori, because you can still continue to follow what they're being said. So I think for those ones, the challenge, back to the squeaky wheels, is give it a go and appreciate that actually our English, the New Zealand English, is already influenced by te reo Māori, and those who try and say that it isn't will probably not realise that they're speaking Māori words, and, you know, we can always smile at that.
You developed a model called the Zepa model, not on your own, I might say, but certainly a key force behind the Zepa model. And therefore the right shifting strategy. Can you talk about that? Give us a further explanation of what that is.
Definitely. So Professor Poiariwe and myself did a major research project that looked at the value of te reo Māori. And one of the things that we discovered in analysing different types of values actually shifted people from a zero, passive or active mode depending on the value that they were applying at any one time, so whatever filter they were putting forward. So for example, if I think about intrinsic value, those related to identity, a number of Māori will say he taonga te reo, he reo rangatira, you know, our language is a chiefly language, it's a precious language, and then they speak English. But they know that inherently, intrinsically, the language is of value to them, even if they can't speak te reo Māori because it's connected to their identity. The challenge for us as Māori is to not to be kaiponu or not to be like Gollum, if we use that analogy, and treat it as a treasure that we end up having this love-hate relationship and don't share it with other people. So we try and encourage people to think about what are the little things you can do to shift yourself along. The other values include things like monetary value, social value, cultural value, educational value. And we see this play out in our society. If I use education as an example, we have in the numbers of immersion schools that we have. So our kōhanga reo, we have over 400 kōhanga reo, and then kura kaupapa to whare kura, that reduces down to 72. So the pipeline is kind of tapering off, because parents get to a point of, okay, my child will need to know how to speak English, I might move them into mainstream now after I've done kōhanga. And so the demand into kura kaupapa is not as strong, and we need to be encouraging our people to see there is value in te reo, and continuing to strengthen that pipeline. And if we leave it to chance and make assumptions or apply a value that left shifts us into a more negative, zero or passive approach rather than a right shift towards an active, this puts a lot of pressure on our pipeline of talent in immersion schooling.
I tu atu ie rā kōrero I oti a koe mo te hunga pēne ietahi. Me te kahatini e pērā ake ana, e whakaroke ake ana rātou, he wāriu ake, he uara ake ka hua, tērā I te whakawhiti mai I te kohanga reo ki te kurauraki, ne? I tu atu I tērā, he aha etahi atu taupā etahi pākati, e hoki muri ai te tangata ki te taha Māui, tērā I te kaunuku atu ki te taha katau.
Ko tētahi o ngā mea nui, ko ngā momo taniwha e patu ana I tō tātou reo, ko te whakamā, te whakahihi rānei, ki te kōrero I te reo, I te reo Māori, kamatu ko te pōhehe, kāre e pai te reo Pākehā a te tamaiti. So one of the biggest assumptions around language revitalisation is this sense that children, you know, will need to be officially taught how to speak English. Yet English is very pervasive, it's all over. They already know how to speak English before they're taught it formally, because languages are caught, not taught. And so that's one of the challenges, is we buy into the assumptions that only education or schools will teach our children how to speak English, when actually our society, you know, has so much English around it, it's really hard to maintain a bubble of te reo Māori. And so, but we buy into this idea that that we learn languages formally all the time, yet our development in English from a child to an adult evolves all the time, because languages grow and your ability in languages grows every day.
Should te reo be compulsory in schools?
At this stage, no, because I feel we need to still develop our workforce and our teachers to support them. And I know that there are a number of strategies to help support the inclusion of te reo Māori in that space. My biggest fear around saying yes to compulsory today is that it will drain out the talent from our kura kaupapa in this first instance. And we need to ensure that they're strong before we deal with everybody else.
There's already competition for resource, right? I mean, there's that story this morning about the kura kaupapa Māori o te whānau tahi in Christchurch, where they're waiting on MOE, who I think had already guaranteed them funding for the school to help redevelop the school, completely rebuild the school, I think was the agreement. And you're right, there will be competition for those resources, particularly as we go through COVID-19. What about a minister for te reo Māori?
I know that was proposed as part of the Pai Pai Motuhake. I feel like it's not so much, it's whether it's reliant on one person. I think that we need to be more strategic with the funding that we do put in for Te Reo Māori. And Te Whare o Te Reo Māori Ora and the change of the legislation was about trying to identify how to do that better, to stop working in silos, to be more coordinated. And eventually, if there is a Minister for Te Reo Māori, then ka pai tēnā. But at this stage, I feel like we are still building the Te Whare o Te Reo Māori Ora in a way that has better communication of where is the need, how do we continue to support Māori communities and whānau, but also how do we ensure that our Crown agencies are working in a more collaborative way that demonstrates more effectively the value of Te Reo Māori across society.
And how do you ensure that you maintain your responsibility through the Language Commission and essentially a centralised approach to be able to achieve the 2040 strategy and yet still maintain, protect and grow and nourish Te Reo Āiwi?
I think it's a way to... we're still working through how we best do that, but the construct of Te Whare o Te Reo Māori Ora provides levers that allow us to do that. So the strong engagement with Te Mātāwai and the Mahi Māori, where they are focusing on intergenerational language transmission, what do we need to do to complement that, not compete? How do we ensure that the conditions are supporting those families and through the different platforms of Te Runana Reo but also Te Papa Kōrero actually give true effect to that and just not pahupahu?
E te ahorangi, e te toihau tēnā koe, whai wāhi mai koe ki au. It's always great to have another alumnus of Te Heringa Waka, Victoria University, on the program. I whai wāhi mai koe, tērā horoi, tērā koe. I know it's been a pretty hectic week, actually, as you've been working through Māori Language Week. So thank you so much for coming into the studio live. I apologise for my dress. It's very informal. But I know as a Hurricanes fan, no, you're a Highlanders fan. Anyway, I just wanted to get the Hurricanes on the show, actually. But thank you for coming and being and live in studio and being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, tēnā rā atu koe. I was also going to say that when you introduced me, you didn't actually say where I worked, so I am the Deputy Vice Chancellor of Māori.
I didn't say you were Tūhoi and Ngātahui.
Well, that's true, that's true. But yes, right. But also do secretly support the Hurricanes.
Oh, that was a great interview. And that was the cherry on top. E te ahorangi, tēnā rā atu koe. Thank you very much. It was, of course, Professor Rawinia Higgins. Ahorangi Rawinia Higgins. Te toihau o Te Tautawhiti Te Reo Māori, the Chair of Te Tautawhiti Te Reo Māori, the Māori Language Commission.